From trauma to joie de vivre. How is that possible? Welcome to Post Trauma Secrets and Decluttering, where we go behind the scene and reveal how to free yourself. Come and discover the four dimensions of a decluttering journey with your host, Valerie Huar.
Welcome to Post Trauma Secrets and Decluttering Podcast. This is the beginning of a new season full of surprise. You will learn tons of stories and information about a holistic decluttering journey, about letting go of trauma and clutter, but also, most importantly, taking back control of your life and your home. This season is particularly special because I will share the mic with one of our extraordinary students. We had the chance to witness her transformation that happened in the last year, and that is just exceptional. So seeing her taking control of her life and find peace and joy is just magnificent. So I'm really grateful that she accepted interview me. So let's talk a little bit about Tammy. Tammy is a church pastor. Reverend Tammy was trusted by her congregation to take care of them in their darkest moment. As she cared for others, she was living in her own dark story. At the age of 30, she was diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and found coping with life's simplest task was becoming difficult and taking more of her energy. She decided that nothing was going to take her life from her and began a journey of recovery and created life that is thriving. So just let's get started.
Thank you, Valerie, for inviting me to do this interview and for that wonderful intro. Valerie, you are the co-author of three books: Decluttering, How Can I Get Started? Put That Stuff Down, and Put That Stuff Down Too. You are also co-founder of Doers Academy and Do Well with your husband, JM. How did you become interested in addressing clutter and post-traumatic stress disorder?
That's a really good question. It all started as I was a military wife, and I've learned resilience and the value of purposeful choices. So together with JM, we built the company, as you just said, that helped thousands of people transform their life through decluttering. And I had the chance to travel from exploring Canada to cruising over 10 countries. And these experiences has enriched my life in countless ways. But one of my most fulfilling roles was really leading first aid team at the Formula One races and contributing to Quebec First Responder Program. So let's get back a little bit before that, because life wasn't always that way. I met JM. I was 16 years old during a spiritual retreat. Our journey has been one of love and shared purpose, fostering children with disability and creating unforgettable experiences for them, like riding elephants and interacting with wildlife, like those monkeys jumping on us, you know? But life wasn't always being smooth. There was time when my memory seemed just out of reach. Key moments like my first real kiss or the first steps of my children were lost to me, as if I was disconnected from my home life. As you know, I live in a constant state of fear and anxiety, always worried about what may happen next. Sleep was elusive, and eating healthily was really a struggle. This growing sense of isolation was overwhelming. I was desperate for a change, but I couldn't understand what was happening until I was diagnosed with complex post-traumatic stress disorder. Suddenly, all these signs pointed to a deeper issue, trauma. So in my quest to heal, I tried everything, medication, therapy, EMDR, hypnosis, but nothing seemed to improve my condition. Then a visit to the doctor left me shattered. He said, "I don't know how to help you. You will just get worse with the year." This statement hit me hard. I felt abandoned, not just by him, but by the entire medical system. It was as if they were giving up on me, and I felt totally worthless. This frustration and depression were overwhelming. I reached a point where I couldn't go on. My overwhelming condition forced me to stop as first responder master instructor and to quit volunteering. It was a heart-wrenching decision because I loved what I did. But my physical and my mental health were deteriorating, and I had no choice. I feel deserted by specialists, psychiatrists, psychologists. Like, they inquired about my sleep, my eating habit, my exercise, my thought. They asked me everything except the one question that could have made a difference. They never asked me, how clutter is your home? My mother was the one who notices the clutter in my life. She jokingly asked me, why do you have so much pasta? Are you cooking for an army? It was a lighthearted comment, but it prompted me to really look at what I had accumulated. I opened my pantry and I was shocked. Why did I have 50 packs of pasta, 15 cans of peaches, or 20 pounds of flour? Around the house, the signs were clear. Items still in their shopping bags unopened, piles of paper on the kitchen table, delivery box scattered, toys more than a daycare would have, clothes, three different sizes, just in case. Does this sound familiar to you? You know, I hadn't realized the extent of the clutter. It does, yeah. And I hadn't realized the extent of the clutter until a significant change happened. My husband, JM, got a transfer notice. We were moving, and the military would send a moving company. Great. The estimator arrived, and his reaction said it all. Dressed in his blue uniform, he looked around and told, we can't move all of this. You need to get rid of at least half. That's it. I was devastated, feeling completely overwhelmed. I thought to myself, I can't do this. We had 3 months to declutter after being told we needed to get rid of half our stuff for the move. Despite our efforts, it was too much in a too short period of time. We didn't make it. My husband had to move ahead, leaving me with our two toddlers to handle the decluttering. The night he left, I found myself sitting in front of our storage room, overwhelmed. For the first time in years, I broke down and cried. In a whisper, I asked myself, qu'est-ce que je vais faire avec tout ça? Or, what am I going to do with all of this? So many questions flooded my mind. Where to start? How long would it take? Would I have to discard good things? Where would I find the energy? That night, I doubted myself. Am I a hoarder? Why do bad things always happen to me? Why doesn't anyone understand? I felt like life was unfair. I remember crying for hours, feeling I had hit rock bottom. But it was a pivotal moment. I knew things would only worsen if I didn't make a change. But this crushing moment wasn't the end. It marked the beginning of my journey toward understanding, healing, and transformation. The next morning, I crafted a plan. Declutter for 30 minutes each day. This journey turned into an emotional roller coaster. As I tried to let go of things, I realized they had been providing me comfort and a sense of safety. But as they left, my anxiety spiked, stirring up my feelings of risk of control. In this cycle of decluttering, I often felt an urge to buy something new to suit my emotions. As hour turns into days and days into weeks, making decision about to keep became easier. Then something remarkable happened. I started to buy less. A couple of months into this process, I noticed profound changes. I was reconnecting with my emotion, not just crying or yelling, but smiling. I no longer needed afternoon naps and felt more energetic. A sense of freedom emerged. My negative thoughts diminish. Nightmares reduce. Flashbacks almost disappeared. the more I decluttered, the better I felt. It was as if each item removed was lifting a weight of my soul. So, you know, a couple months later, the movers came again. And the only words they said is, "Let's go." So we reunited the family back together. Her home became tidy and welcoming. I wasn't embarrassed anymore when friends dropped by unexpectedly. And even on a Caribbean vacation, instead of dreading coming back to a messy home, I was excited to return to my peaceful place. That trip, I realized how amazing my life is. I have a loving family, great friends, and so much to look forward to. So now I'm always ready to have people over in my neat home. It feels good. And I wonder if you would like to feel the same way. And I know you do. But for the people that are listening to us, would you like to feel the same way? Proud of your place, ready for friends, and happy in the home you love.
Valerie, your amazing story. And you're so courageous to share it with us. Thank you. Do you remember the moment when you realized that what you wanted to do was help others? If so, can you share with us some of your thoughts and feelings at the time?
Yes. So I always wanted to help others, as far as I remember. Like, for example, I was going to a Smurf pre-kindergarten. So I was, 3 years old, 4 years old? And it was wonderful because it was in a hospital setting where there were lots of people having challenges and disabilities. And I was there, a kid of one of the employees of working in the hospital. And I wasn't having any disability. So I was able to help each and even of the other people, the other kids that were there, bringing them a snack, putting back a toys in place, or playing with them. And I learned that disabilities is part of life and it's normal. It's not, I hate the word disabilities, but it's not being set apart, it's being part. And this is where I start helping other people. And then moving on, I started school. And in grade one day, there's a kid arriving with a broken leg. So imagine a little kid, you know, grade one, with his backpack that are often more packed than they should be, and trying to go with the crutches. So I right away offered to take the backpack and help every day that he will go to school while using the crutches. Not just helping one day, but helping every day. And I had lots of opportunities like that in my life. And that bring me to really start volunteering with St. John Ambulance when I was 15 years old. And from there, we arrive in my story where it's bring me up to being master instructor for them, but starting do well, because after we move, then our home was clear. We had that huge challenge that we faced out, the move with decluttering. But we cannot keep that for ourselves, knowing that there's dozens and dozens and hundreds of other military families having the same challenge to move while they're cluttered. So I remember telling Jim, we need to do something. So my first place to go was, okay, let's do a home staging course to help people get ready for move, to prepare their home to sell. And then every client I was seeing, the problem was not to place a pillow here and there or to remove some frame when they home staged the home. It was the clutter. So I say, Jim, I'm not equipped enough to help these people. So I became a professional organizer. Just that, to realize that it's really the clutter and the trauma that prevent people from being able to declutter. Almost every client were telling me about their trauma. So I remember we were sitting in the living room and we were talking about, okay, but how can we help people? Oh, I want to help people here in my city. No, it's not enough. Let's look bigger. Okay, we want to help people all over the continent that are moving with military families. Oh, it's not enough. Let's get bigger with more people. And then we ended up with that big number, wanting to improve the quality of life of 1 million people. Because we want to reduce the suffering in this world. And yeah, that's our goal, me and Jan. We want to help over 1 million people. You know, I was able to recover and get better, but others are able to, just like you.
Valerie, did I hear you correctly when you said at 3 years old, you felt compassion towards the other children around you, and you believe that is the moment when you started helping people, and that has grown into the Do Well Academy today?
Yes, you heard me well.
At 3 years old.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, how did your books and program materialize? Did you write your books before Doers Academy program was created, during, or after?
That's a really good question. And I have a fun story about it. So at the beginning of Do Well, I was doing in-home consultation. And one day on my Facebook feed passed a workshop about writing books. And JM told me a couple of times, oh, at one point we will write multiple books in our life. We have a lot to say. We have a lot to explain. So I say, okay, let's register for that workshop. Didn't tell JM, register for the workshop. It's a 3-day workshop. And then I tell JM, oh, JM, I have a good news. We registered for a workshop. It will be Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday all day. Okay, what is it about? We will write a book during the workshop. What? So we went to the workshop and it was amazing. And that day, the first day of the workshop, we laid out the first, put that stuff down. The layout was ready. Mm-hmm. 10 months later, we were at the book launch of Put That Stuff Down 1. So from there, COVID hit. So we realized that we can reach and help more people if we have our book out there even more. So we start doing a little bit of marketing, but we created an online program. So instead of going in home, we can help people. And progressively, that course, the video that we did, we modify it and it became the Doers Academy. And from there, we were having a lot of questions. Okay, yes, we answer lots of things in the Doers Academy, but the people that are not in the program, there's a lot of information that we can still share with them. So we decided to write Put That Stuff Down 2 that explain more in detail the link between clutter and trauma and the holistic decluttering journey. And it is meant also to help professionals that want to help their own clients to have a good resource on decluttering.
Valerie, we can see your commitment towards helping so many people. The COVID hit and so many people just didn't know what to do. And we're also very grateful that you and JM were able to put your heads together and create this program that's helping so many and write the books that's helping so many. Through Doers Academy, you have been helping people for, I think, 25 years. Is that correct?
The Doers Academy is since COVID, but I have been helping people with trauma and clutter before that.
Okay, I see. How has helping others changed you?
Wow, that's a really good question. So when I was studying in occupational therapy, like we're talking in the 90s, I was helping others as well. I discovered mm-hmm. the relationship and helping deeper, more professionally people. But I was also volunteering as a first responder. And the thing is, at that period of time, I was maybe volunteering 2,000 hours per year, around that. It was a huge amount of time that I was volunteering. And the thing is, it was not like today. I was helping others in a way to forget about myself. Like I was passing other needs before my own needs. And I was forgetting about my own needs. So yes, I was doing something good. It wasn't my value of helping others, but I was forgetting about myself. Then at some point I had to stop and take care of myself and work my own journey out of trauma. And that completely changed my life because I had to learn forgiveness during that journey. And when I talk about forgiveness, I'm talking about not waiting something in exchange of forgiving someone. Like it's not, I will forgive someone, then that person will do this, this, and this. No, real forgiveness. And after my journey of recovery or healing, we started Do Well. And as I say, almost every client were telling me about their trauma, probably because they were sensing that I was able to listen to them. But the need to help them was profound for me. And the need to help more than just these couple clients. So I cannot keep the way out, the way that I learn, you know, the way to letting go just for myself, because that would be selfish. I had to share it. I had to talk about it. I had to help other people live it. And helping others is incredible. And right now, when I help others with the Doers Academy, it's not to forget about my home journey anymore. It's not to forget about my trauma. It's to spread love and growing love. And I'm so blessed to have the chance to witness the transformation of our student. It's kind of amazing. Every day I wake up, I'm excited for the meetings I will have that day. Like it completely changed myself. It completely showed me how everything is possible. And I truly care for our student.
And that shows, Valerie. Valerie, could you explain for me, before you entered your journey of healing and you were helping so many others, do you feel like that was just a subconscious move on your part to deny your need for healing or avoid it? What do you think exactly was going on there?
Before, it was really that if I help others, I don't have time to think about myself. So I don't have time to think about my trauma. I don't have time to think about my suffering. I don't have time for catastrophizing. I don't have time for all of other coping mechanisms that we can develop after trauma and that are painful. But we have to realize that helping others in this case was also a coping mechanism. Even if it's a good action. Yes. It was still a coping mechanism. Yes. So it was still unhealthy.
Thank you. Was there ever a time in creating Doers Academy that you felt like you wanted to give it all up? What keeps you motivated?
Yes, there were some time. It's always hard to say when we talk about those subjects because it's so delicate, but we had to invest a lot of time and money in the creation of the Doers Academy. Building a program that is internationally recognized, it's not something easy. And when we want to reach more people to spread the message, to spread to let the people know that the program exists, we need to invest lots of time and lots of money. So that means someday not passing in family or some weekend working or things like that. So yes, at some point, it was kind of, okay, am I doing the right things? Am I making the right decision? But I came back to the source and wanting to help a million people. And yes, I want to do this. So that's what's keeping motivated. But you know, when you got sick and you're an entrepreneur, you don't have insurance. I had, in the way of creating the Doers Academy, I had 2 emergency surgery. I got COVID and lulled COVID. And that left me with what they call POTS, that is a blood pressure dropping problem. So, of course, there's some moment where it was kind of, okay, what am I doing right here? You know? But the passion of those breakthrough, the power of those breakthrough, knowing that someone are experiencing distress right now, I cannot accept that. I just can't help and offer them a way out.
Thank you, Valerie. As you continue your work helping others with post-traumatic stress disorder and decluttering, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And where do you see Doers Academy in 5 years?
I love that. I really love that. So I see myself helping more and more people. Just growing, you know. I want people to understand that decluttering is not just about the physical belongings. There are stories behind the clutter. And I want to train other facilitators so together we can help more people with the holistic decluttering journey. In 5 years, you know, people will find and know about the Doers Academy the same way they search online and they find a veteran affair or they know that other important resources exist. We won't be that little tiny business here in Canada that just a couple of people knows about. Everybody will know what is Do Well and the Doers Academy.
And so many people do know, and it is growing. It's happening now. Do you realize what an inspiration you are?
I'm not sure.
You are an inspiration. What encouragement can you give our listeners today if they or someone they care about is having difficulty with clutter and post-traumatic stress disorder?
I think the most important message is the resources and the way to get better and take back control of life and home exists. It's not true when doctors and other specialists say it will stay like that. The resource exists, and everybody is able to. I was able, as well as dozens of students that came through the Doers Academy, at their own pace. That's really important. It's not a program. It's not a way out that everybody do the same thing. Like when we go to school, everybody has the same homework the same day and have to report them and do the exam the same day. No, there's no exam and there's no everybody at the same time. Everybody at their own pace. And it is priceless to feel better and enjoy life in a tidy and welcoming home. Don't stay alone. Reach out. You know, all the contact information will be in the show notes if you're looking for that. Or you can look on our website. But don't stay alone. The resource exists.
Thank you, Valerie. There is help out there.
There are. On this note, I want to thank you, Tammy, for that incredible interview. The questions you ask are really wise and thinking, and it really brings a new way of showing what we do here at Do Well. So for everybody that is listening, stay tuned, and as this is just the beginning of the season, like there will be other, probably 7 or 8 other episodes in that season, And if you like that episode, please leave us a review or subscribe to the podcast. As we will dive more in the next episode, stay tuned.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this episode. If you want to help break the trauma stigma, share this episode and give hope to your friends and let them know it is possible to get free from trauma. Valerie and JM want to help you further by offering you Declutter Your Life 101. Be sure to go to dowellht.com/free-yourself. That's dowellht.com/free-yourself to get your free quick summary and start your decluttering journey. Thanks again for tuning in, and be sure to join us next time to discover another secret on Post-Trauma Secrets and Decluttering.